Day by Day with Lewis and Clark.
August 17, 1806. Charbonneau dismissed. The Corps, well on their way back to St. Louis, go through some personnel changes today. Charbonneau, his wife Sacagawea, and son Pompey are left with the Minotauries. Coulter signs on with the fur trappers Dixon and Hancock, and the party takes on the interpreter Jessome, the chief Shaheke, and their families. Captain Clark writes about this historically important day.
A cool morning. Gave some powder and ball to Big White Chief. Settled with Toussaint Charbonneau for his services as interpreter. The price of a horse and lodge, purchased of him for public service and all amounting to $500.33.5. Directed two of the largest of the canoes to be fastened together with poles tied across them, so as to make them sturdy for the purpose of conveying the Indian and interpreter and their families. We were visited by all the principal chiefs of the Minotauries to take leave of us. At 2 o'clock we left our encampment, after taking leave of Coulter, who also set up the river in company with Messrs. Dixon and Hancock. We also took leave to T. Charbonneau, his Snake Indian wife, and their son-child, who had accompanied us on our route to the Pacific Ocean in the capacity of interpreter and interpretess. T. Charbonneau wished much to accompany us in the said capacity, if he could have prevailed the Minotauri chiefs, of whose language he was conversant, would accompany us. His services were no longer of use to the United States, and he was therefore discharged and paid up. We offered to convey him down to the Illinois if he chose to go. He declined proceeding on at present, observing that he had no acquaintances or prospects of making a living below, and must continue to live in the way that he had done. I offered to take his little son, a beautiful, promising child who is 19 months old, to which they himself and his wife were willing, provided the boy had been weaned. They observed that in 1 year the boy would be sufficiently old to leave his mother, and he would then take him to me, if I would be so friendly as to raise the child for him in such a manner as I thought proper, to which I agreed. Captain William Clark, August 17, 1806.
The Corps proceeded on down the river to meet the chief, the Big White, or Shaheke, at his Mandan village. The Indians proceeded on down by land and walked to the lodge of the chief, who was surrounded by his people. The men were smoking and the women crying over his departure. As he smoked one last pipe with them, the Indians informed Clark that when they first met him they did not believe what he was saying, but now were convinced he was telling the truth. They said they would now attend to Clark's advice and not attack other nations. Instead, they would only defend themselves when their lands were invaded or they were attacked. They even asked Clark to issue an invitation to the Arikaras to come and see them and not be afraid. But, as for the Sioux, they said they would kill any of them they saw in their country. Clark then saluted the Indians with a gun, set out, and proceeded on to Fort Mandan, where he landed to view the old fort. All the houses except one were burned to the ground, probably by accident. The Corps then proceeded on to the Arikara village and camped nearby. Tomorrow, Indian Legends.
Day by Day with Lewis and Clark is written by Ed Jacobson and produced by Lenny Holloman at Yellowstone Public Radio. Captain Lewis read by Russ Palmer. Hear other days with Lewis and Clark at yellowstonepublicradio.org.